Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology-agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. Regardless of where you are in your digital transformation, whether you're just starting out or in the midst of your journey, this show covers everything you need to know to make your digital transformation successful. My name is Sarah Dokowitz, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is common knowledge that digital transformations commonly fail. This can be due to a variety of reasons, many of which can range from issues related to people resisting change, lack of executive buy-in, operational misalignment, and a host of other issues. Most of these challenges and failure points don't just happen overnight. They accumulate and percolate under the surface over time, and by the time most organizations feel the pain of those risks, it's usually too late to fix them. This is where a quality assurance framework can help identify and mitigate risks early on, a sort of early warning indicator of trouble. Joining me for today's discussion is Eric Kimberling, the CEO and founder of Third Stage Consulting Group, which is an independent and technology agnostic digital transformation consulting firm. Eric and his company have worked with some of the world's leading organizations in their transformation journeys and technology implementations. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And to start off, what exactly is quality assurance?
So quality assurance is a good way to think about it is a way of providing oversight and risk mitigation to a transformation. So it's not necessarily the same as project management or program management, but it's more of an outside objective view of what the risks or potential risks in a project are, identifying the risks as they start to percolate, and ultimately mitigating those risks before they become too much of a problem. So the way I always think of quality assurance is a sort of an early warning indicator. And another way to look at it is, and we've talked about this in other episodes of the podcast, is it's sort of like a canary in a coal mine. It's if you're a coal miner back in the day and you were in a mine, oftentimes they would have canaries that would be singing. And when there was a gas leak, the canaries would be the first to die from the gas leak and they'd stop singing. So the miners would know to get out of the mine before there was an explosion. And that's a lot like what quality assurance is, or what quality assurance should be to your project, is that canary in your coal mine as you're managing your transformation and ultimately pinpointing and identifying those problems and risks and challenges, which every project has, mitigating those and addressing them before they become too big of a problem.
Awesome. That's a great explanation. And is this a common thing that most organizations include on their transformations?
I think a lot of companies think they're doing it. You know, they're everyone's looking for risk. Everyone's looking for the same end result, which is let's be successful. So the intent and the purpose is certainly there. I think every organization, for the most part, wants that. And even the consultants and the outside parties that might be helping with the project want that same thing for the most part. But the problem is most organizations, either because they're uneducated or they're biased or they just don't know any better, they don't know what to be looking for. And they don't recognize risk oftentimes until it becomes felt. And once you feel the risk, and once you feel the consequences of a risk in these sorts of projects, usually it's too late. And the point in a project where you typically will feel the pain or the results or the consequences of an unmitigated risk is later in the project when you get to maybe testing or even worse yet, go live. That's when most companies realize that, oh wow, we made a bunch of mistakes, or there's all these things that are now creeping up to the surface. They were always there. Those risks were always there. They were percolating under the surface, but they kind of blow up once you get to testing and go live, because that's where the rubber starts to meet the road and people start to see how the technology and the people and the processes are all going to come together. And when they don't come together because of other problems that have happened throughout the project, that's where you feel it and where you experience it for the first time. But by that point, you've already expended so much time and money on the project, you could go back and fix it, but it's going to cost you a lot more now to go fix those problems rather than just nipping it in the bud early on in the project.
Yeah, that's got to hurt. Would not want to be in that position. Now, in a past episode of our show, we dove into detail talking about digital transformation failures. And what are some of the common causes of failure?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why projects fail. Oftentimes it's related to organizational change management. That's one of the most common, if not the most common reasons, is we didn't address the people side of the equation. Oftentimes it comes down to business process definition or lack thereof. We didn't define our processes in enough detail. Oftentimes it's because we customized the software. Oftentimes it's because we just had poor project management. We didn't have the right governance in place. Oftentimes it's because we didn't clearly define our requirements and what we wanted to get out of the system. So those are all very common symptoms, but if you kind of go down another layer and look at what's the root cause of a lot of those symptoms, oftentimes it comes down to two things. One is misalignment. So we aren't aligned as a team on what we're trying to accomplish and what direction we're going. Mm-hmm. And if we're not rowing in the same direction and we're rowing in different directions, you can kind of see how that's going to create a lot of friction and inefficiency and wasted time and money. And the other root cause that leads to a lot of those symptoms I mentioned is a lack of realistic expectations. So when companies start off with unrealistic expectations, they end up creating a implementation plan and a budget that kind of boxes them in. And it's an unrealistic box to be in. And it was never reality to begin with, but you end up trying to manage the whole project in this realm of misaligned reality. And by the time you realize you don't have the right amount of time or budget, you end up cutting things that are very important to the project. So that's a key reason why change management, for example, ends up getting cut from so many budgets, is because we thought it was going to take 18 months, but that was never realistic. We were more of a 3-year type of implementation all along. So that's the challenge you see there, is you start cutting corners and you start cutting the things that are going to make you successful, but you do it in the interest of saving time and money because you had unrealistic expectations. And taking that one step further, part of the reason there are so many unrealistic expectations in this industry is because you have so many biases with software vendors and system integrators, even industry analysts that are paid by the software vendors. They're all perpetuating these messages of ease and simplicity and silver bullets, one size fits all answers. And it creates this perception of transformation being easier than it really is. And so we've got to take all that with a grain of salt and define reality and not hypothetical, perfect scenarios that never happen.
Yeah, it's almost like you always have to just be prepared for anything at that point and learn to be very flexible in the process, which I think some people will find a little challenging to do for themselves as well. And then how can organizations use quality assurance to avoid these sorts of failures?
Well, it's something that starts early in a process when you're first planning for your project. Typically, that's when we'll first do a quality assessment review and we'll start to establish project controls and risk mitigation detection mechanisms. So it starts early on, but generally it's through a series of checkpoints in the project. A lot of times companies will ask us to have certain phase gate reviews where we'll do more of a formal deep dive to identify all the challenges and risks, all the things that are going well, and sort of a remediation correction plan just to keep things on track. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, which could be in combination with the stage gate review, or sometimes clients will have us do this instead, which is more of a steady involvement and a steady constant assessing of where we're at and identifying risks and really making sure that we capture those along the way. So those are two of the, generally speaking, the ways that we structure those types of engagements with our clients in terms of getting quality assurance or incorporating quality assurance into an overall program.
Okay, awesome. That's good to know. And when you're doing these quality assurance programs for your clients, what are some of the lessons learned in that process?
Well, the lessons are that there's a lot of different risks that pop up during a project. And when I was a kid, I know I'm a lot older than you, Sarah, but when I was a kid, there was a video. there was a game, and maybe it was around when you were a kid. Maybe it's still around. I don't know. But there's a whack-a-mole. Did you ever play that game?
Where
the moles pop up, and you have to pop the mole, and then another one pops up. That's kind of like how risk mitigation is, and how quality assurance is. Is as soon as you tackle certain risks and you've mitigated them, suddenly other ones pop up, and we've got to figure out ways to mitigate those. So that's probably the biggest one, is that the diversity and variety and frequency of risks is very unpredictable in many ways, other than the only predictable part is that it's common, or that the risks are common. So that's one of the main lessons. But the other big lesson is that most of the risks, I would say, 70 or 80% or so, are unrelated to the technology being deployed. So in other words, it's things like our change management issues, or we didn't have a proper user acceptance testing. We didn't have the right project governance in place. We didn't define our business processes perfectly enough or well enough. So a lot of non-technology related things are some of the more common things that pop up during these sorts of assessments.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like it's a bit of a complex topic there as well. And I can see why something like quality assurance would be important to a transformation. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. But when we do come back, I'm going to ask Eric more about quality assurance and how to apply it to your organization. We'll be right back with more of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah, and I'm speaking with Eric Kimbling from Third Stage Consulting about quality assurance during digital transformations. So, Eric, what are some of the major components of an effective quality assurance framework?
So we have a framework we use, and there's 13 different lenses that we analyze a project throughout the project. And without going through all 13 of them, I can kind of maybe categorize some of the major buckets. First is the overall procurement and the contract phase, just making sure that everything we're contracting and the SLAs, service level agreements, and the cost and everything that we've signed up for being given to us, and make sure we've got the compliance with contracts and the procurement. Even something as simple as, are we contracting and buying the same software that the vendor demoed to us? Sometimes the vendor will show you a new version of a product, but then you get the contract and it's an older version, or it doesn't include all the modules that they demoed to you in the demo process. So things like that it starts really early in the sales procurement cycle. And those are some of the things we look at early on. And then when you get into the actual implementation, there's things like project governance. There's a lot of things we look at related to the overall governance and decision-making, strategic alignment, a lot of the upfront pieces that are so important to a successful transformation. As you go through the project, there's other things related to business process definition and requirements traceability. We look a lot at organizational change management, so everything related to the people side of the transition, making sure that we've identified risks before they become overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then on the technology side, we're looking at not just things specifically related to the technology itself or the software itself, but we're also looking at things like, have we defined an integration plan of how the different systems will talk to one another, the data migration, the solution architecture, all that sort of stuff related to the overall technical solution. And then there's obviously the pure technology software side of it. So the configuration, the testing, data migration, all that good stuff.
Okay. So is this kind of sort of like a checklist, or like a checklist of all the things that you want to make sure that you don't forget during the implementation as well?
Sort of, but not really. It is a checklist, but it's not a yes, no, or checkbox or not type of assessment. Usually, if you're just to do a checklist, usually you would go into most projects, and for the most part, you're going to check things off. You're going to see that, yep, we did testing, we have a change strategy, we have a communications plan, we have, you know, all the things you expect to see. And there's dozens, if not hundreds, of things that you would expect to see on this sort of checklist. But the problem with checklists and its applicability to these sorts of transformations is that the question or the problem usually isn't with not doing things, it's with not doing things well or not doing things the way you should be doing them. So, for example, we've had situations with clients where you would look on paper and say, okay, they've got three rounds of user acceptance testing, which on paper, that's pretty reasonable. You've got user acceptance testing. You usually want to go through a few rounds of that, a few iterations, so that you can capture, remediate, retest, and make sure that you've worked through all the kinks. But then as you dig into it, you find that, for example, we haven't captured all of the realistic business scenarios that we might encounter in a real world environment. So while, yes, we could check a box that says, yes, we have three rounds of user acceptance testing, we haven't done it well. We haven't defined all the different scenarios, or we've left out key parts of our business. Or what another thing that often happens is we have three rounds of testing in our plan, but we don't have enough time in between to remediate the problems. We just cram them all together and assume that we're going to somehow fix everything. So it's just little nuances like that, that you have to be real experienced and seasoned in this sort of thing to be able to pick up on, and not just look at it as a yes, no, did we do it or not, but more, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, as 10 being we did it great and 1 is very poor, where do we fall? And then where are those biggest risks and biggest challenges we're going to have as a result?
Okay, got it. And is this something that your systems integrator or implementation partner can provide?
They can. I would suggest that you don't want them to, primarily not because they aren't capable necessarily, but it's more because they have their own biases. You know, their bias is going to be toward their methodology and the way they are used to doing business. But the system integrators and the large consulting firms and vendors and everyone in the industry are the same people that have been perpetuating all these failures over the years. So we don't want to just keep repeating the same thing we've done in the past. We need to look at things with a fresh perspective. So that's one thing, is a sort of a bias and lack of knowledge on how to do things highly effectively. That's not the same party you want to do the quality assurance. But probably the even bigger reason why you wouldn't want your system integrator to do the quality assurance is because it's a lot like the fox guarding the hen house. You've got the big consulting team that's making all this money on this project. Mm-hmm. There, you don't want them to self-assess how good of a job they're doing, because they're incentivized to tell you that they're doing great. It's kind of like if you were in school and you got to give yourself your own grades, you're not going to be at all objective about how, you know, how, what kind of a student you are, because of course you're going to think you're awesome and you're amazing and you forget all is. Yep. Yep. So that's a case for not having the system integrator do it. And then the third thing I'd say is that your system integrator is just one piece of your transformation. There's internal activities and deliverables that need to happen. Usually there's other third party deliverables and activities that need to happen that's outside the realm of what a system integrator does. So you need someone that can kind of look at the whole picture of everything that's happening on a transformation and be able to assess it objectively that way.
Okay, got it. And is quality assurance something that an organization's internal team can handle?
Again, they could, but it's probably not advisable unless you have a team that's highly experienced. They've been through lots of implementations in the past. Okay. Chances are you probably have some team members that have had maybe some limited experience. Some teams will try to hire former consultants or former implementers to come work for their team, and that stuff can help. But in general, again, it's the same dynamic. You're going to have a certain sort of bias because now you're internally focused. You have the blind spots of not being from the outside. Having that outside perspective can be very objective, and just having a fresh set of eyes. And that experience level generally internally is not as great and not as robust as you'd want to see for someone coming in to identify risk and fix the problems quickly.
Okay, good to know. And you mentioned the fox guarding the hen house. And why don't systems integrators just be more honest about the implementations and the risks? Why do you think that?
Well, the main thing, the big driver, I'd say the biggest driver, and I used to work at one of these firms, by the way, so it, in some ways it's, I know from past experience because that's where I started my career. But I remember being at the large consulting firm I used to work at, we had a lot to lose by losing the client's confidence in us. And when we were involved in these big implementations, we'd have, in some projects, anywhere up to 70 or 80 full-time consultants on a project. And so the run rate, the revenue that our company was generating from any given project was easily, in the millions, sometimes tens of millions of dollars a year. And so there's a lot of money at stake. And when you've got that kind of money at stake, you're going to find a way to spin a positive spin on things. And you're not necessarily incentivized to be completely forthcoming. Not that you're necessarily even lying. It's just that you aren't going to be super excited about telling the client all the things you just screwed up right after you've just billed them millions of dollars. So there's that human economic dynamic that, can trap even the best of us. I remember thinking it was kind of strange when I worked there, but it was kind of like, that's just the way it was at the company. And it was ultimately a big part of why I left that company, by the way. But while I was there for those 2 years, I just remember being fascinated at how much time and effort we would spend on how we message certain problems to the client. And we were very careful, rather than just coming forward and saying, hey, here's a problem, we need to solve it. We sort of spin it in terms of, yeah, this is a challenge, but we've got the answers, don't worry, everything's fine. And you're sort of telling the client, but you're also sort of saying, no, don't worry about it, it's fine. So we used to spend a lot of time getting that messaging right. And so I guess, long story short, it really comes down to money and human behavior. I'd say those are the two reasons why they do that.
That's so sad.
But
yeah, I know. And it's just like, I mean, but sometimes, like you said, you are in a place where that's kind of their process, and it's either you get to choose if you want to be a part of that or if you have a bit more integrity. So yeah, that's really, but thank you so much for all of this kind of just breakdown on all of this quality assurance and how it works and things like that. And I wanted to know where our listeners, if they want to learn more about everything, what are some of the resources that you might suggest for them as they evaluate their potential digital transformation options?
Sure. So subscribing to this podcast is one way to get weekly updates to every time we put out new episodes every week. The other thing is to check out our website at thirdstage-consulting.com. We have tons of white papers, blogs, videos, all that kind of stuff that's meant to help companies through their digital transformation journeys. And then finally, we have a really robust YouTube channel, or actually two different YouTube channels. One you can find by just searching Third Stage Consulting on YouTube, or you can search for my name individually, which is Eric Kimberling. And those two channels, both, we put up different content on both channels. One's coming from me, the other one's coming from our entire team that just gives best practices and lessons to help people through the process.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, and definitely go check them out and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Just give it a plug there. Well, Eric, we're about out of time, but thank you so much for being here again with us today and sharing all of your amazing knowledge.
All right, thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And thank you to all of you for listening today. Again, my name is Sarah Dokovich, and we will see you next time in our next episode of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.